Yes, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the beautiful snow outside and just your creation again this morning. Lord, I do want to pray that you be with us. And Lord, thank you already for what we heard there, what Cletus shared concerning Gideon. And Lord, how you wrought much through his little, seemingly, Lord, and we thank you for that. I pray this morning, Father, that you'd bless Brother Salah here, Lord, as he speaks the word to us. Lord, help him to bring it forth in a pure and clear way that would bring forth fruit, Lord, beginning in my heart first and us as a body. Lord, would you just speak to the needs that we have? Lord, you know our hearts greater than even ourselves. And Father, I pray you bless them. Bless Brother Salah. Give him words. Give him utterance and clear thinking and clear speech, Lord, as he speaks what he has on his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Amen. It's good to see all of you this morning. It's good to be here. Thank you for brethren. To the brethren, what you've shared thus far, and it is good to see all of you back from China, and as I was thinking of the statistics that they talk about with a Bible in those places in Southeast Asia there where there's billions of people. They talk about a Bible possibly being responsible or leading to the conversion of 20 to 30 people. And I just, that's just amazing. The hunger in those places. I wonder what God sees when he sees the dusty Bibles on the bookshelves in America. I'd like to turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Book of Mark, chapter 5. And then we will also turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Chapter 5, in verse 22. We read about Jesus being very busy in a healing ministry here. 5:22 says, "Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 8. beginning in verse 41. And behold, there came a certain man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched thee?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is going out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now you can turn back to Mark chapter 5 there. We see here there was a woman that had an issue of blood, and we can clearly read in Leviticus that this condition made a woman unclean, and she was not to be touched by anyone. She was not to touch anyone else. Even the seat or the bed that she sat on or laid upon would become unclean until she went through a certain purifying ritual at the temple. She was an unclean woman that did not have any let up of this for 12 years. And she was an outcast from society, and she was considered unclean. This woman heard of Jesus, and she came. And perhaps as she was considering this, she heard of Jesus Christ and of his healing power. And maybe she put a scarf over her head so no one would recognize her. But we know for sure that she sneaked in somehow from the back, and she touched the book of Luke says the border of his garment. When Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" It says that she looked around, fearing and trembling. It was one thing to touch someone in the synagogue, or touch someone in the village, or touch a family member, causing them to become unclean. But here was the Lord of glory, and she touched him, and she stood trembling and fearing. But it also says she knew what was done in her, and she came and fell down before him. Now, I was looking at that, and there is a significance to the border or the hem of a Jew. The hem of the garment of a Jew, the border of Jesus' garment, was not just a border. It wasn't just, she didn't just touch his garment just anywhere. She went for the border. She went for the hem of his garment. Now, we look at that and we say, and we praise God that that's all she had to touch. It's just the tip of his garment. And that's true. That's true, that's all she had to touch was just the tip of his garment, and his power flowed through her. But there was some significance to the hem of his garment, and there was significance of her going from behind and choosing that hem rather than going to him face to face. There's significance to her fearing and trembling afterwards. And to look at a few of those things, I'd like to go back to the book of why don't we go to the book of Numbers? I kind of have a lot of scribbles here, and I don't. But I think we'll read in Numbers first. Numbers chapter 15. If we follow the words, border, garment, the border of a garment, the hem of a garment, the fringes of a garment, through the Bible, it's all the same. It's all the same, and God commanded the Jews to put fringes on their garments, on the borders of their garments. And the word fringe and border and it was the tassels they put them on different places. One was on their prayer shawls, and the other was on their garment that they wore every day. They put four tassels on the four corners of their garment that hung down past the end of their robe. And this garment was special. It wasn't just a tassel. It wasn't just a piece of cloth. It wasn't just a worthless piece of something that they wore if they wanted to or if they didn't want to. God told him that this is what I want you to wear. In Numbers chapter 37, we see here there's a man violated. No, I'm sorry, verse 37 on chapter 15. Chapter 15 in Numbers, verse 37. There was a man had violated the Sabbath. And they said, there's people came to Moses and told him that we saw this man violate the Sabbath. We saw him. I forget what he did. He was gathering sticks on the. He was gathering firewood on the Sabbath day. And this was right after Moses said that you know how it stands. God said that if any man violates the Sabbath, he shall be stoned. So they took him out, and the congregation, verse 35, all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. Verse 36 says, all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, this was not a small thing. This was not a small thing in Israel. Can we imagine one of us in here, in this church, that we would take out the back and stone? That it was a horrifying experience for the children, for the women, for the family. It was a horrifying experience, and maybe this man even forgot it was the Sabbath. But it was God's holy law that cannot be broken. And Moses then spake unto, or then the Lord spoke unto Moses. And he said in verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations. And that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe that ye look upon it. And remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. These tassels that they had on their garments were there for them to remember the word of the Lord, to remember the words of God. And they were there to remind them that when they obeyed the Lord, there was healing and prosperity. When they disobeyed the Lord, there was disease and corruption. We can read also in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, God said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." These tassels was not just a string. It was there to remind them that, first of all, the dealing carelessly with the Sabbath was certain death, as it is today. When we deal carelessly and we don't find peace and rest in Christ Jesus, we will die. But there was also, this thing was entwined with a ribbon of blue. The color blue there is, and I read a little bit about this blue, but it's something amazing about this blue in here. It was a dominant color on the priest's clothing, the blue. So this blue in the tassel was, and it was made from a precious dye that came from a very rare animal that lived in the Mediterranean. And it was a brilliant, beautiful blue that they used for the priest's garments, and it signified priesthood. This ribbon of blue signified priesthood, and they were all supposed to wear it. Entwine it in the fringes of the borders of their garments. I don't know how long these fringes were, but they were also told in verse 39 that ye may look upon it. They were told, don't hide these fringes. Don't hide them. Display them openly. Now Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 for enlarging the borders of their garments. He rebuked them for that. But we'll look at that a little bit later. These fringes that were on the garment of every Jew, I believe it was just the men. Reminded them that death and destruction will result if we forget God, if we forget the ways of the Lord. And they all knew, they were well aware of the healing power of God. They were well aware of the viciousness of the extreme force of famine and pestilence and of their enemies that could come in and just overtake them and destroy them quickly. They wanted God's healing. They wanted His acceptance and His peace. They wanted the blessing of God, but sometimes they loved other things more than that, as we heard about this morning. They loved other things more. And there's disease and pestilence came upon them. God promised them throughout the scriptures. In Jeremiah 30:17, it says, "For I will restore health to thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." Jeremiah 33:6 says, "Behold, I will bring to it health and healing, and I will heal them." I will heal them. I will be with you. That was the greatest promise ever spoken to mankind, is the God of heaven promising to be with you. There's a verse in Malachi, the book of Malachi, the fifth last verse in the Bible. And we're acquainted, there's songs about this verse. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Now, it took me a while I was back and forth through the concordance to really see this. But this word wings, it has the same meaning as the word, the hem. If you follow the word hem and border and fringe through the Bible, this word wing is entwined with all of them. And the word wing there, as it's used in Malachi chapter 4, that the Son of Righteousness is going to come with healing in his wings. It simply means the outer extremity or the tip is what it means. So the wing of a bird, it means the wing of a bird. We know what the wing of a bird is, but the origin of that word comes from the word that we use for like the wing of a building, you know, the outer wing of a building, or the word wing for the outer tip of something. And that's what this word means in Malachi 4, verse 2. And the Jews, there's Jewish writings, they strongly believed that there was a king coming. And they strongly believed that king is going to have fringes on his robe. And they strongly believed that when that king comes and we touch the tip of those fringes, that there will be healing there. And they didn't understand it, but the Jewish people talked about that for generations. When you think back, you think of 1,000 years of history. We go through from the Old Testament to the New, and from Abraham to Jesus was maybe 1,500 years. Think back from today, 1,500 years ago, in the year. What it would have been like 500 years after Christ was here, the year 500 AD. That's a long time ago. And that's how long these people had been talking. From say 500 AD to 2015, that is how long the Jews were talking about this. I don't know when Malachi came on the scene. This says he came on the scene only 400 years before Christ. So for 400 years, though, they were talking about this king that's coming with healing in his wings. And this woman, when she went for that fringe, she knew what she was doing. When we read there, when Jesus turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" In verse 33 in Mark chapter 5, it says she came and she told him all the truth. And I believe part of that truth that she told him was, I believe the fringes on your garment are the healing, are the wings of that Son of Righteousness that's coming. And I believe you're the one. There's also a verse in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass." And this is talking about, he's talking in this chapter about the restoration of Jerusalem, about the coming of Jesus Christ, and the coming of the church is contained in this chapter. And he tells us here, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. And that is the skirt of Jesus Christ today, that has wings or tassels or fringes whereby we can find healing. And it says that 10 men from all languages and all nations, the Japanese, the Chinese, the European and the African and the American and the South American, can all come take a hold of that skirt. The skirt with that tassel on it was not just a tassel either. It wasn't just a... I have read that the skirt of a ancient Jew, it bore his identification on it as well. And that was perhaps what David, why he was so remorseful of cutting off the skirt of Saul, because he actually took away his kingship. You know, he actually took it, and he came back to him and he said, you know, I don't remember what he told him. But he didn't just take a piece of cloth. He took the hem of his garment. And that was his identification. That was his, we would call it his ID, you know. He cut a piece of that away. Jesus' hem, the hem of Jesus Christ today, signifies that he is the Lord, that Son of Righteousness. And there's healing in that. There's healing in that hymn today. And you know, once we start, when I saw this, then it's everywhere in the Bible. It's in different places. You know, it's kind of like when you, if you're shopping for something that you don't have, and all of a sudden you go buy something, and whether it's a this winter, I was thinking about how when you plow snow, why it's so easy to get into the grass and plow grass and stones. And so I got these little fiberglass rods that I put in the at the edge of the yard. And it's the first time I ever used them or thought about them, or, you know, and I thought, wow, that's what we need, you know. And Home Depot had them for $2, and I put them in my yard. And since then, I'm seeing them all over the place. It's like everybody had the same idea this year. Only, I don't think they did. Everyone has been using them. I just never saw them. I never noticed them. And when we have a revelation in the Scripture, when we see something, we can, and I believe that's, if we see Jesus as our Savior, we will find Him. If we are looking for a Savior, we'll find Him. He promised that. But if we're not looking for a Savior, if we're looking for something else in the Bible, if we're looking for something else, we won't find salvation. We need to be looking for a Savior. We need to have an issue that is cutting us off from fellowship with God. That's what this woman had. She had something that was making her unclean. We need to find ourselves unclean and be looking for a Savior. But there's other verses that talk about the hem and the border of the garments, of the garment of Jesus, in the prophecies. In the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 14:36. Matthew 14:36 says, that the men of that place had knowledge of him, and they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Mark chapter 6, verse 56. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. As many as touched him were made whole. The border of his garment, there again, that word border and fringe and wing and all those words are all together. And the Jews wholeheartedly believed that in the border of Jesus' garment there was healing. Now, I'd like to look at a few things here. This woman, she came to Jesus, and I'd like to look at just a few things that stand out to us here in these verses that we'd like to consider here today. When she came to Jesus, she was a nobody. So much so that when she touched him, he said, "Who touched me?" Now, he knew who touched him, but he said, "Who touched me?" God is not a respecter of persons this morning. And I believe that right now, of the thousands of Bibles that were handed out, I don't know, was it thousands of Bibles he took across the border? Or hundreds? Is it 1,200? Somewhere is reading that, probably right now, of 1,200 Bibles. And whether that's a Chinese rice farmer, or if one of those made their way into the courts of a government office, God is not a respecter of persons today. And He will, when we come to Him, we are as qualified to come to Him and for healing and for... Now, I'm not talking about a health and wealth type of a gospel here where we are always healed of all our diseases and all those things. I'm talking about the disease of sin. I'm talking about the disease of that plagues mankind of self and pride. That disease that we can be, you know, in the Old Testament, in Jesus, before he died there, the disease was that they came for healing for was physical. But today we can come and be healed spiritually. And she came, and she was a nobody. And he said, "Who healed me? Who touched me?" Luke 9, verse 11 says, "He healed them that needed healing." It's that simple. Those that needed healing, those that called on the name of the Lord. But that tassel on the hem of Jesus' garment is not just a tassel of healing. It's a tassel of and the identity of Jesus Christ himself. And when we touch that, why, that just like that healing power flowed into that woman, we are also able. It is the heart of God that the righteousness and the grace of God flow into our lives in the same way. That's what made Jesus different than the rest of the prophets. The rest of the prophets, there's those other prophets that healed the dead or raised the dead and healed the sick. But Jesus' perfect righteousness, his perfect communion and obedience to his Father is what made his healing special. It made his healing an eternal healing. That we can be restored and that we can be find our way back home. God is calling each of us today to come home. We can also see here that when she touched Jesus, she was acquainted with everything she touched. And anything she touched required a ceremonial cleansing because she made it unclean. When she touched Jesus, she didn't make him unclean. When she touched Jesus by faith, the power that came back into her body just healed her immediately. And there's nobody that is too bad. There is no vileness of sin can overpower the precious blood of Jesus, the power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Through repentance and a broken heart today, that power will flow into a person and flood out and wash away and cleanse and purify. It's a promise of God today. She didn't make Jesus unclean. Rather, he made her clean. And as we touch the hem of his garment today, may the peace and the love of Jesus Christ flow into us. The forgiveness. But as we consider what that tassel was originally for, let's never separate the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness through Jesus Christ with an utter state of helplessness and a desire for truth and righteousness. That's where this woman was. She was done. The scripture says she had seen many physicians. They couldn't help her. And it says the more she tried to do, the worse she got. Does that sound familiar? And I think that we become harsh. We become harsh and critical. And I think the reason we do that is because we think God is that way. I believe that's how we become harsh and critical, because we think God is the same way. And the Son of Righteousness has healing in his wings if we will come. Jesus came to this world, and the word selfless is an understatement to describe Jesus. He came and he gave of himself. And he gave, and he gave, and he gave, and he gave until he died. And that's what he wants to impart to us. That's what he wants to give to us through the touch of the hem of his garment. And yes, he wants to bring physical healing too. But he doesn't always. He sometimes has a greater plan for us than to heal us physically. I always often think of a book I read some years ago that made an impact on my life. It was the story of the Chinese Christian, Brother Yun. When he was in a prison cell, he had been so saturated, so overcome by the power of God in his life, in his heart. And he was preaching to these 10 or so hardened killer prisoners in his cell. And they mocked him and laughed at him. He prayed and fasted for them. And he preached to them and he shared the word of God with them. And nothing could touch him. And one day, he went over to a rough cement cell wall, and he took his finger, and he pressed so hard that it tore the skin off the end of his finger, and he wrote in his own blood, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And as I consider the love and the power that had flowed through him for him to be able to do that, but it broke their hearts, and those men came to Jesus that day. That is the plan. That is Christianity, the striving lawless Christianity that claims to be forgiven. I don't know if the Bible doesn't say that he extends that God wants to impart to us forgiveness without his character, his spirit. When we find ourselves being cold, when we find ourselves being, sometimes I just feel, there's just wickedness, that can well up in my own heart. Just a downright hatefulness, is just the plain way to say it, can well up in my heart. And I need to go get a fresh drink from the well of the water of life. That is our hope today. It is our lifeline. It is, and it's open to you and I today. And we can come to him and be cleansed. But if she hadn't been desperate, she wouldn't have went through that crowd as an unclean lady. It was in her hometown, and I don't know if it says that, but I assume it was with people that she knew. And wherever she went, they were supposed to say unclean, unclean, and people parted. It was normal. But she didn't make him unclean. The other thing we can see here is Jesus was on his way to heal a girl. He was doing something else when she touched the hem of his garment. But he wasn't too busy. We sing that song, "Savior, please don't pass me by." He has never passed anyone by that is called on his name. In sincerity, in truth, in desperation. He had time. He had time for her. And the King of Kings today, who said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole," is the same one that one day will judge the nations and pronounce his verdict upon empires. That's the same one that said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And we read in verse 28, Mark 5:28, she said, "If I may touch but his clothes." That to me, that means if I only touch that, I shall be whole. And, Brother Jerry talked about faith this morning. She didn't come and ask her to heal ask him to heal her. She simply came and received what God had already ordained that she receive. Now, I don't believe in unconditional eternal security, but I believe in eternal security. And I believe that today, our faith, her faith is what our faith, my faith today doesn't move God to offer up his son for me. He already did that. My faith puts me in a place where I can receive it. Her faith put her where she needed to be. The hem of his garment was there for everyone that was around. Some believed and some didn't. We heard about a small faith in a great God. We need to get what has already been provided. We need to receive what God has appropriated for us to have. And we can get as much as we want. We can get what we want today. By faith, we come and wait. We wait on God. We wait on God and we ask for wisdom. By faith, we do all that we know to do to put ourselves in a right standing with God and wait for his power to come. And sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we lack wisdom and we say, Lord, I need wisdom. By faith, today, we claim him to be the King of Kings. You know, I read a little article about the shepherds that proclaimed the birth of Christ, or that in the shadow of that day, in the shadow of King Herod, that was a far-fetched idea to see that there was a king laying in a manger. That was something that if the angels had revealed that to someone other than the shepherds, they may have laughed at it. The shepherds were maybe simple enough to believe it. Herod's empire was one of the greatest empires ever on earth up to that day. He was one of the most ruthless, meanest men ever to rule from the throne. And we see there how he executed people right and left. When he heard her, he was the most paranoid ruler. You can read history about him in the Bible dictionary. He was so paranoid. If he got the inkling that somebody was just a little at odds with him, he would have him executed. And he shed more blood than most. He was the one that had all the children under 2 years of age killed after the wise men told him about the coming of a king. All the children under 2 years of age, he had them killed, as many as they could find. I read also once that he was so wicked, and the Jews feared him so much that on the day of his death, as he was laying on his deathbed, he was close to dying, and there was someone who he thought might become a king after him, and he had him killed. And there was the Jews. He brought leaders from the surrounding area in Judah there of the Jews. He sent out word that I want you to the king is Herod wants to see you. And they brought him and locked them up. I don't know how many, but the day he ordered that the moment he dies, they should go kill every one of them, so the Jews would be sure not to rejoice at the day of his death. He was that kind of a king. He was as mean as anyone has ever known any man to be. And today, in the face of mountains and giants, in the face of our king today, in all the things that glitter in this world, all the things that are great and highly spoken of by men, today, I believe, is the Super Bowl. When I think of that, when I think of how great that great of an event that is, surely it's an abomination to the Lord. Surely, that is about as antichrist of a event in light of the holiness and the righteousness of God and His Son Jesus Christ as the difference between Herod and that baby laying in the manger. Now the kings of this world make a lot of noise. The kings of this world get a lot of people's attention. But by faith today, the King of Kings is sitting on His throne, and He will have the last word. By faith, we love our enemies. By faith, we lend to others. By faith, we obey Him, therefore, thereby placing ourselves in the center of His blessing. And this woman had a great problem that she was healed from. But I don't know. What each person in here would ask for today. If you are able to reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. What each person in here would ask for today. Maybe some of you would ask that you could go home right now. Maybe some of you need healing. Maybe some are have other, whatever it may be. His power is not diminished if we don't hear from Him. But He wants to accomplish that which He would like to see in our lives, I believe. And if we just bow our hearts to Him, we will one day anyway. We will bow before the King. And we may as well do it now, because we will one day anyway. And to just to say yes to God before I know the end of the matter, to say yes to God before I know the end of a matter is an act of faith that will place us in a place of blessing. I think of the different opportunities we have right now as a church. I think of the opportunities in the Philippines and in Haiti and the opportunities in Honduras and different places like that. I am convinced today that whether it's in our home or in our community or in the church or to the uttermost parts of the earth, that if we will wait on the Lord, and we will just come to Him by faith. And we don't need to, God is here. She just touched only His clothes. We don't have to go to great lengths to find God. Finding God is as simple as repenting of my pride and turning to Him. Finding God is as simple as a glass of water to someone that's thirsty. That's walking toward God. And the redeemed today are the apple of His eye. So I trust today that that's all I have to share. That I didn't take any of this out of context. But my heart today is just that we, each of us, would just have a strong desire to come to Jesus and just receive that cleansing power from Him, to receive that power that He desires would flow through that, through the hem of His garment, and through us and onto others. And I just pray that God would work this work in each of our lives. And God bless you all.